Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Listen up, Friar faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
It is the Padres Roundtable, and not Ben Higgins today. Ben is off. Chris Ello, I'll try to do my best impersonation of Ben today, hosting today's Padre Roundtable, brought to you by our friends at Roundtable Pizza, Pizza Royalty. And speaking of royalty, we have the crew here today. Braden Soprena.
What's up?
Tony Gwynn Jr.
Hello,
and,
sir.
And, of course, Sam Levitt. Sam Hi. Levitt, in-season Sam Levitt is here.
Yeah, buddy.
Great to be here.
Just heard him on the air on Ben and Woods. Speaking of that, there's Woods over
Hi,
there.
Hi, Chris.
And Mr. Scraby on Hello. The far end as Hello. We break down the Padres' current state of affairs. And guys, we'll start with this. It is April 24th today. So let's all keep that in mind as we answer all these questions, right? It's early. But for the first time since April 6th, the Padres woke up today, and they don't have the best record in Major League Baseball. That now belongs to the Mets. Padres started 7-0, but a less-than-healthy Padre team has gone 10-8 since. And the road trip, 2-4, first shutout loss of the season yesterday. They haven't scored in 16 innings. Nevertheless, they still have the second-best record, right? They're 17-8. They're still in first place in the NL West. So 25 games into the season, it's judgment time, guys. Put on your professorial robes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I don't know, your robes.
Just say robes.
Grab the erasers, clear off some space on the blackboard, pick up your chalk, and give me a letter grade for the Padres so far, 25 games into the season. We'll start with you. I was going to call you Professor Scraby, but since you made fun of me, you're just Mr. Scraby.
Oh, I'll take Mr. Scraby. I am going to give them, and no one is going to agree that I feel this way, but I'm going to give them a B+. I think, you know, through the year so far, the injuries are the major story here in the last couple weeks. I don't understand how fans expect them to win every single game with this lineup. And that is what people are telling me. Oh, they're pros. They should be able to handle it. They've done a really good job with very little help this year in the last maybe 2 weeks.
B+ from Mr. Scraby. Let's move it up now to Professor Woods.
Thank you. I'm going to give him an A, man. I don't know how you look at this team and where they are in the standings and really give them anything. But, you know, the seven shutouts, my God, elite run prevention right now for the San Diego Padres and grinding it out, finding ways to get it done. Not the best road trip, but, you know, it happens. I'm very, very pleasantly surprised to be sitting in here looking at this team being 17-8. I really am.
All right, a B plus, an A, and now we go to in season Sam Levitt.
I agree with Woodsy. I say A.
An A, huh? All right.
Look, they're really banged up. They're sitting at 17-8. They're also a little bit of a victim right now of a National League that is really good, and a lot of teams, especially in their division, off to a really good start. But I don't know what else you could want from a team that has so many significant injuries, and now significant injuries going on a couple of weeks. To be 17-8, and I think play as well as they've played, I think there's very little to complain about. I was just saying on their show, it's a tough team to talk about right now because the record's really good, but they're dealing with so many injuries. And until those guys get back, I don't really have a great answer until those guys get back. And we know what they are. We saw what they are the first couple of weeks when they're healthy. So I say A. I mean, 17-8, despite the injuries, that's pretty good.
Tony Gwynn Jr., you want to keep the good times rolling here?
Yeah, no, it's an A. I don't know that it can be anything else. They've been as good of team, if not the best team in baseball for most of the year. And the only time they haven't has been these injuries have kind of accumulated over time. If you've watched as many games as I think most of us has, I find it to be tough for you to come up with things that you just aren't happy with. Like, overall, this team is put together well. Remember when we got out at spring training, it was, oh, we got so much, we have so much depth. Well, this is kind of what the depth is for. When guys go down, they come up. And yes, they're all pros, but so are the other dudes on the other side that in some cases are at full strength. And so, yeah, this is an easy A for me.
All right, Braden, Professor Suprenant.
We're all professors, but Matt.
Except for Matt. Yeah, because he gave him a B+.
At least
it's pretty obvious.
Exactly. I give him an A as well. I mean, I just agree with all these guys. And I mean, you look at, to me, it's the expectations of what the season was supposed to be. And the entire offseason, you know, heard from people complaining about how are we going to compete with the Dodgers and we're not spending any money. And, you know, our roster didn't get better and it got worse and everybody else's roster got better. And now you sit there after the, you know, first 25 games or whatever it is, and you're sitting atop of the leaderboard in Major League Baseball. I know you're now like a game back of the Mets who have caught fire as of late, but you're playing in the most competitive league in the National League. You're playing in the most competitive division in the National League West, and you're near the top. And when you have all the injuries, I mean, you got guys contributing. Now, you know, I think Kevin Acey laid it out in his daily newsletter, and I totally agree. I mean, you're starting to realize why some of these guys are not everyday players. But for what they are doing and what they've been asked to do, they're doing a really good job. Tyler Wade's doing a great job flipping the lineup over. You got guys that are filling in and keeping the thing going. And as Manny said, we just got to keep the boat afloat until we start getting some reinforcements back. And when that happens, Padres team is going to be just fine. I agree with Tony. I don't know what you possibly could be complaining about when it comes to the team, unless you're very
don't
like
worry,
finally.
Guys,
nitpicking.
I'll find something.
It's crazy that we're having a conversation about the Padres being behind the Mets as the best team in all of baseball. That's our complaint.
Well, the Mets had to win what, 8 in a row?
Right.
Yeah. There, you know?
That's our complaint right now. Yeah. Oh man, we slipped behind them.
We got it good.
Tell that to high school me and see what he says.
Right.
Yeah. Right? High school me and the 2011, 2012 Padres, I'd be ecstatic.
And it's also April 24th.
It is.
Yeah. I long for the good old days of April 7th when we moved into the best record. Scraby, when you gave your B+, did you think you were going to be too high?
No.
I didn't think
everybody else was going to go A. The only reason I said B+ is because of the injuries. That's why.
See, we had a separate group text in you, and we wanted to make sure.
I thought when you said B+, you said, I don't think anyone's going to agree with this because you thought we were all going to go lower than B+.
No, I thought you guys weren't going to agree that I'm not
that
panicking.
He was going that, oh,
yeah,
okay.
That
going
I'm not that. Panicking because you guys say that I panic a lot during the season.
Yes, you
and
do.
Last night on the Scraby Show, I had the segment called Padres Therapy throughout the season.
Padres Therapy.
It was brutal because there's nothing to talk about in the bad realm. Oh. I mean, it's all about the injuries.
It's not just us, though. It's like a lot of other cities, too. Did you guys see John Kruk last week.
Yeah. Yes,
Craig, very
yes.
funny.
I was dying at
they
John
gotta
Crook.
Put him back on
that
national
was great.
Television.
Love Crook.
That
was
not fair
great.
That only Philadelphia gets.
Philadelphia is complaining about being three games out of first place, and John Crook goes, "Man, that this late in the season with 130 games left, I don't know how they can make up the three
how are they
going
to make up three games?
How are they make up three games?
It was brilliant.
I mean, sometimes perspective. We got to have some perspective.
I was flabbergasted by the surprise in my man's voice when he said it. Like,
oh yeah,
oh like. Oh, well, yeah, well, I guess I'm out of pocket here.
I guess I'm an idiot. Yeah. It was so good.
He did sound a little out of pocket. I'm giving straight A's as well. 17-8 factors out to 102-plus wins, which would be a club record. So let's keep that in perspective, even though they finished the 2-4 road trip. All right, let's keep the good times going. And you mentioned it, Woodsy. Tuesday shutout over Detroit. They're 7th in 24 games. The last team to do it was the 92 Braves. You got to go back 30-plus years. They had Smoltz. They had Glavin. They didn't have Maddox yet. Maddox won the Cy Young that year, but he was with the Cubs. That 92 Braves team did go to the World Series. And Padres' ERA, tidy 2.92. Nick Pivetta has been incredible.
Incredible.
Right? 1.20, the best ERA through five starts of any Padre pitcher ever. And here's a guy that everybody passed on in yep. free agency. So, Woodsy, start me off. How good is this pitching, really? What's realistic going forward? And what's realistic for Nick Pivetta going forward?
I mean, he's pitching like one of the best in baseball right now. Supreme amount of confidence, really nice pitch mix. Fearless, you know, really fearless out there. And the thing is we've done so well, and again, with Dylan Cease not even really getting on track yet, you know, looking better. You know, certainly we just had Eno Saris on, and he was like, don't worry about Dylan Cease, man. Do not worry about Dylan Cease. And when Eno tells me not to worry about somebody, I don't. And when he tells me to worry about somebody, I do. So it's been remarkable to watch. And to watch these guys go out in the bullpen. I mean, I know a little hiccup yesterday, certainly, but they've been so good.
ERA rose to 1.73.
Exactly. I mean, it's just been having Jason Adams, he's the best eighth inning guy. Having Robert Suarez, he's the best closer. Makes the game shorter for Mike Schilt. Makes the game easier for those starters, knowing I can be free. I do not have to do too much. I've got backup. Like, I can go out and pitch my game. And if they get me, they get me. And, like, it's just been really incredible to watch. I knew they would be solid. I didn't know they would be this good.
Yeah. Sammy, what do you think about the arms, and what's realistic going forward here?
I think it's been awesome. Michael King is coming into form, obviously. Pivetta's been great. And what I like about Nick is that he doesn't seem too caught up in the start. Like, he I think, realize it's a really long season and there's a long way to go, but I don't know how, from an outsider perspective, you can't be really excited about what he is. I mean, the stuff is great. That sweeper, the hook of a curveball, the fastball that seems to get on the hitters, it seems real what we're seeing from Nick Pivetta. And we have seen the Padres and Ruben Niebla do this with other pitchers, whether you want to talk about a Michael Wacha, a Seth Lugo. List goes on and on of guys, Michael King in that category as well, of guys that come here and seem to find another gear. And I feel like that's what we're seeing early this season. And Pivetta, I'm with you. I'm not super worried about Dylan Cease. He seems to find it at some point and get on one of those runs. With Randy Vasquez and Kyle Hart, certainly more unknown what you're going to get from those guys day to day. But much like we've talked about with the offense, I think it's about maintaining until hopefully Yu Darvish gets back. Obviously, you're still going to have somebody in that fifth spot. But when you have a top three with the potential of Cease, King, Pivetta, hopefully Yu Darvish is good when he gets back, that's a great four. And the bullpen, I mean, they've been unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And when you have a pen like that, I mean, that is such a major problem for so many teams that can unravel a season when you don't have a solid bullpen. The bullpen has been tremendous, and it's a huge reason why this team, why their record is what it is.
What have you seen from Pivetta that you've liked, Tony, so far? I mean, this start has been beyond exemplary for him.
Yeah, no, I look at Nick like very similar to how it was when Joe came here his first year. Like, around the league, if you've watched Nick, you know he's super talented and just hadn't put it together. His numbers don't match what – you know, the type of pitcher he was. And so I'm not surprised at all to see him come here and really get off to the start that he has. He's always been thought of as the type of dude with that kind of stuff. He's just now putting it together. And I think, you know, you go up and down that rotation, again, not a lot to dislike. Yes, Hart has struggled a little bit. Vasquez's been inconsistent, but those are your fourth and fifth starters. Maybe outside of the Dodgers, there ain't going to be too many four or fives that...
They don't even have a four or five right now.
Right,
so, you
exactly.
Know, I mean, there ain't, or three. Really,
the fact that we have two guys that take the ball every fifth day is so valuable. We get caught up sometimes in wanting great to be perfect when, you know, great is just where it needs to be right now. And I think Randy's going to get better. I'm hopeful Kyle can get going. He's had a couple different troubles, right? I think he had trouble where he couldn't command the ball outside of the zone. Last two starts, he couldn't command it in the zone. Yeah. And he's been getting touched up a little bit. So
God, he battled his ass off yesterday, does, though, man. Oh, my God. Six. If you had told me when that game started, he's going to punch out six and give up two solo shots, I'd be like, you're out of your mind,
that's
dude.
The whisper came out in the first inning.
I was thinking this is going to be one of those 12 to nothing games.
It felt like it was headed that way. But, again, those are the characteristics that all five of those guys have. No matter how bad it may look early, they don't go away. They keep coming. And for me, I like my four and five to be cut from that same cloth as those other three.
Braden, the Padres have allowed two or fewer runs in more than half their games, 13 of 25. That's going to give you a chance to have a pretty good record.
Yeah.
Is this going to hold up in your mind?
I think it is going to hold up because I think the style of play of the Padres has been a style of play that's going to hold up. Again, we talked about it the last couple roundtables, and you know, offensively, they find different ways to win, even with the guys that are playing that are not the core group of guys. You know, the philosophy has been really good. You can see that you can see and notice their approach at the plate. But on top of that, the pitching is the same thing. They're all saying the same thing postgame. When they have good outings, what do they say? Why attack the strike zone? I threw a lot of strikes. You know, it's simple as that. I mean, they've made it so simple at this level with just... We're throwing strikes, and at the plate, we're not swinging outside the zone. We're waiting for our pitch. We're going to grind out at-bats till we get to that pitch. And that plays everywhere, and that plays with everybody on the team. It's funny, you know, my dad said it the other night when they won. He's like, how are we winning with this roster that we have currently? Yeah. And I look at him like, it's the pitching. I mean, the pitching's keeping you in games, and the way that you can grind out at-bats and find different ways to win offensively, you're going to be very, very successful. And they go back to Kyle Hart. I mean, he gives up that home run. My group texts me. He's like, get this guy off my team. I'm like, well, let's wait for him to settle down here. And he did. I mean, he ended up doing really, really good. I mean, if he were able to get you, you know, a full five innings, it would have been great for what he started with. Yeah. But as Tony mentioned, I just think we get so caught up in trying to have this perfect roster that doesn't exist that you don't appreciate some of the guys that you have on the team. I mean, every time, and I defend Xander Bogaerts probably more than anybody else out there besides Mike Schilt. I mean, my answer is every time, like, who else are you going to go get?
Right.
I mean, start looking at other teams right now and tell me what four or five starter you want instead of the guys that you have. They're giving you everything they got. If they're not giving you the effort, fine. Then we could say something there. But with Kyle Hart's story and what he's been able to do, I mean, I thought him bouncing back yesterday was great. I mean, he gave you an opportunity to win yesterday, yeah, and unfortunately, the guy on the other side only gave up two hits,
he was unreal.
He was dealing.
He was so good,
his
man.
Changeup was awesome.
You know, people got upset that the Padres had three pinch hitters in the last days. Guys, it's a getaway day. It's April. It's over. Like, there's 162 of these things, and you got to realize it's not the NFL. It's not NFL Sunday, man. It's sometimes you just go, you know what? You guys played well. We'll see you next time.
When Manny is praising a pitcher after a game, because it's rare.
Yeah.
I mean, and hitters will not be like, man, that guy was awesome. They won't say it. They will not say it. And when Manny's like, hey, that dude was great, and he was moving the chain, everything was down. And it was
everything
was down. And it was so weird to watch them go away from their approach. But then I thought maybe that was the book on him. Attack him early, and you can get to him, rattle him, because they were attacking early. They just couldn't hit anything because nothing was above the knee. I mean, it was just cut the thing in half. It was crazy.
I think another thing about this start, which I think is impressive, like you mentioned it, Braden, yesterday was the anomaly
yes.
where And the final score ended up being not really indicative of how tight the game was for most of it, right? It was 2-0 for most of the game. They're in these games. They're not getting blown out, right? You look at the losses. I mean, until yesterday, one run, two runs. Yeah. Consider this. I said this yesterday post-game. Their last eight games, they scored 10 runs on that Monday game against the Cubs. The eight games since then, they've averaged 2.5 runs per game. They haven't scored more than 4 runs in their last 8 games. But even with that, they're still winning some, and they're right in these games. Yeah. So, again, it's like, yeah, the injuries are piling up, but to their credit, it's not like they're getting blown out. To your point, Woodsy outplayed. You know, they're in these games, and that's a lot because of the starting rotation, no matter who it is in the bullpen as well.
And outside of the Rockies, I don't care what those teams' records were at the time.
Yeah.
All of them have been solid teams.
Yeah.
Astros were way more solid than their record show.
They just won 3 straight.
Braves are playing better.
Braves are starting to play better. Like, all the teams, with the exception of the Rockies, and that's no disrespect to the Rockies out there.
Oh, you can disrespect.
That is the worst team they've played, and I think, given that, it's probably one of the tougher starts to a season in terms of the types of teams. Cubs are good, man. The Cubs are really good. Detroit is good. That team's really good.
That was one of the best teams in the American League, standing-wise. Yeah.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ben does a better job of reining you guys in. I got to bring you back. Remind everybody you're listening to the Padres Roundtable, a commercial-free Padre talk for an hour brought to you by Roundtable Pizza, Pizza Royalty. All right, let the good times slow down for just a half a second. I got three things I want to throw out there. And I don't necessarily look at them as negative. I look at them as these are facts through 25 games. Number one, home road splits for the Padres pitching, which we just talked about. 12-1 at home, 1.30 ERA. 5-7 on the road, 4.81. The whip, 0.8 at home, 1.42 on the road. Big differences. I'm just saying it's early, but those are there. Secondly, runners in scoring position. A stat we always look at when the Padres are playing. At home, they're hitting 304. On the road, they're hitting 156. A lot of that 156 happened on this trip while they are less than healthy, but still pretty big disparity. Third, the Boston Red Sox have already hit 9 home runs this year that are either three-run shots or grand slams. The Padres have 0. They have a single three-run homer yet. They're the only team in baseball that doesn't have one. Slam Diego is nowhere to be seen at the moment. I'll start with Tony because I'm sure he's going to dismiss this quickly, and then we can get on to everybody else. Anything troubling you in any of those numbers, Tony, at this point?
Not at this point. I think it's too early to, especially the home road splits, especially the pitching splits, home and road. The homers, I think, you know, notoriously here in on the West Coast, or here in San Diego, they get off to a slow start. Summer rolls around, ball starts going a little bit. For me, I'm taking the wins over the homers all day long. So if they can produce the wins as they have without the homer, so be it. But I do think that eventually, especially as they get healthy, they'll get rolling.
In some ways, maybe it's even more impressive that they've won so many without hitting no any doubt. Three-run homers.
As Braden says, that game, we see that travels. You can win in the playoffs right. with that type of game. We see bats homers go cold all the time yeah. in postseason play.
Professor so. Scraby, anything there that troubles you, sir?
No, not really. It doesn't trouble me at all because it's early in the year. But the homer thing is they have, you know, Tyler Wade's not going to hit many three-run homers. Mason McCoy is not going to hit many three-run homers. So once you get Jake Cronenworth back, once you get Jackson Merrill back, Jackson Merrill played 10 games so far this year. Three home runs, 10 RBIs. Hitting over 350. That's a lot that you're missing right there. And I'm sure in the last 15 games, Jackson Merrill would have an opportunity for a three-run home run. So I think it's just because of the injuries in the home run department. But everything else, I'm gonna stick with Tony on that.
Woodsy, the last two games, believe it or not, the number 4 through number 9 hitters in the Padre lineup combined for 0 home runs coming into the game. Now, Diaz hit one in the Tuesday game.
Yep.
That's pretty crazy for a major league team, even at this point. But that's what the injuries have done.
Yep.
And they're still finding ways. They did win one of those two games.
Yeah, man. And you know, with Manny only having two, Xander having none. Yeah, I mean, I think those guys have both hit the ball hard. Both, you know, if you look at their OPS plus, they're both over 100. They're both playing really well as far as, I wouldn't say really well, but they're playing, their OPS plus is over 100. So, I would love to see more from them because I love them and I want Manny to hit 40 bombs at some point. He said he would like to. He's going to have to get on a real run to get 40 this year.
Watch if he does.
I know he will. And I know he doesn't want Luis Arraez
to beat him.
It's got to be killing him to look up and go, that dude's got 3 and I only got 2 right now. But
there are games where it seems like that's on his mind, right?
Guaranteed. And so I think, yeah, man, power is great, but we talk all the time about the brand of baseball they play. The homers will come. They will come. Yeah. I don't think we're going to lead the league. I don't think we'll be top 10 in home runs.
Middle of the pack.
But I think we'll be right in the middle of the pack, yeah. And I think they will come. And when the good thing about, like, Manny and Xander, when they do get rolling, they usually come in bunches. Yeah. So, that, like you said, that'll be fun to watch.
Sammy, anything about the home road splits with the pitching staff and the runners in scoring position, or is that just happenstance so
far? I think
it's
a little too early, and you consider where they played on the road. There was that frigid series in Chicago. They played in a huge ballpark in Detroit. Houston, weird park. Like, does that Cam Smith home run, I think it was against Hart, go out in another ballpark? I don't know. So I think it's a little bit too small sample size to get really worried about home and road splits. The home run thing is interesting in general because they haven't hit that many. But to your point, Xander doesn't have any. Manny's only got 2. They're missing all these guys now, so it's not surprising that the power is lacking. The lack of 3-run home runs is interesting because Fernando's got 8. I'd be curious to know, and I didn't look it up, how many of those are just solo home runs. Does that speak to
most of them?
Most of them, it feels like.
The team has 24 home runs, 18 are solo shots.
Right.
So, it's been weird like that.
So Fernando's leading off. Is that a little bit of a reflection of the bottom of the lineup not getting on in front of them? Maybe. They probably have more guys in front of them if they were healthier. Right. So, again, like there's circumstance between small sample size, the injuries, the fact that just some guys don't, like Xander not having a home run, I would have thought through 25 games he'd have a couple. So it's very small sample size-ish, I think, to really worry about a lot of this stuff yet.
Tony, do you think that's messing with Xander very much after 25 games? Again, he hit 30 home runs, I think, once in his career, but he's 19, 20, you know, 18, whatever. Like 25, you played 25 games as a regular. Does panic set in?
I don't know if panic sets in. I'm sure he's thinking about it. But I also think about this. He has struggled early the last 2 years. and swinging the bat as well as he has early may be something that kind of keeps him off of thinking about that.
Because he's not hitting 150. Because
he's not, you know, he's right in the middle of things usually when the Padres.
He also hit two home runs off Imanaga in Chicago. The wind knocked them both down.
That's right. For sure. Barrels. So I think he's probably more locked in on the fact that he's swinging good and that eventually they'll come. As you guys kind of alluded to, he's not really a 30 home run guy, so he's got some time to cover some ground to get to his 15, 20, 15. 25, whatever it's going to be.
Braden, last thing on some of this stuff. On the road trip, they attempted only 3 stolen bases. They were successful once. Early in the year, they were running like crazy. Is that part of the injury situation right now? Is that just they didn't feel the situation presented itself?
I think it's probably a little bit of both on that particular case. It's like what you said all the time, and I agree. I mean, you want to be aggressive, but you don't want to be foolish. And there's times where I think you could be running yourself into outs. You know, you don't just steal just to steal bags. You got to have the right opportunity, the right personnel. I think to do that. One thing that about the runners in scoring position, and Tony said this a couple years ago, and this is how I view runners in scoring position now all the time. You know, you're not worried about necessarily what you're doing with runners in scoring position. You're more worried about how many times you are getting runners in scoring position, because eventually you will start getting the hits. And I think if they were not getting a lot of guys in scoring position in general, like the anomaly of yesterday, I think you'd be a little bit more concerned. I think eventually it will come around.
It's a numbers game.
I mean, the more you keep getting guys in the scoring position, eventually the you're going to open the floodgates.
That's what I tell myself when I'm at the blackjack table.
Yeah, exactly.
The longer I stay here,
I keep putting
the better I'll do.
Before you walk in? I think that says on when you walk into the house.
Give myself more opportunity to win.
Real quick on the run game, I don't expect them to see them keep that pace that they had early. For those who don't know, that's a toll on your body doing that all year long. So, you know, Manny having the 6 bags is awesome. Yeah. But do I really want Manny, you know, continuing to push the envelope from a stolen base? I'd rather him do the ball in the dirt. You know, take your opportunities then versus, I mean, don't get me wrong. First, guys like Manny and Toddy and Jake, if they see an opportunity, they're going to take it. But I'm not mad at them kind of reeling it in a little bit, especially as these injuries have started to kind of mount.
Right.
You got to – best ability is your availability.
That's right.
And the Padres will go as health is abundant amongst all of them. So
wouldn't the tendency be like – so we're missing so many guys, right? And wouldn't the tendency be for most normal people, if they said, Woodsy, you're the manager – I'm like, man, we're missing all these guys. We really need to push the envelope. We got to push it now. We need to be more aggressive.
We got all these hamstring injuries.
Let's make them run a little bit more. And I think, but I also think the flip side of that coin, if you're Mike Shildt, is like, I can't have outs on the base pass right now. Like
your margin for error
is so much smaller
with all those.
So I kind of get it. I kind of get the more conservative approach right now with so many guys being banged up. And I think your natural inclination is like, We're 4 men down. We got to push. We got to keep pushing and keep grinding and keep stealing bags and moving guys over. And I think they've gone the other way. And it kind of makes sense to me. Like, I cannot have guys getting thrown out on the bags. I just can't, because we may not get another guy in scoring position.
Toddy got thrown out.
All right, that's what I wanted to bring up, because I got crushed on the internet.
You should have
got
crushed for that.
What
did you say?
I said if you're going to be okay with aggressiveness when it works, you have to be okay when it doesn't work. And here's the thing.
Difference between aggressiveness and...
Okay, here we got the baseball people all of a sudden. I'm so much smarter than this guy.
Well, that...
I know strategy.
Don't be mad because you hear the truth.
No, my reasoning was, it's game 25. It was the first inning. I know it's a cardinal sin to make the third out at third base. But if Fernando wants to go, if he makes it, everybody's cheering him. I know he was already in scoring position, but I don't think it's that crazy.
No one is like, Nando, shame on you for taking third. It's just a deal where, hey, man, you know, you're taking that spot. You're going to take that chance. We like to see you get there.
You better make it.
Right. I mean, that's common across the board.
But if Fernando wants to try a steal base in the 25th game, he's in the first inning,
of a getaway day.
He's not
I'm
being
fine with it.
He's not being stopped from doing it though.
No, like I know. Draft,
he
no.
can still have his opportunity. I get and if fired he makes
up.
It, great.
I get fired up because awesome. I get the people who are like, well, you just don't know ball then.
What a difference a year makes though, by the way. I mean, think about how bad the Padres have been at home. And it's now almost completely flipped.
12-1, yeah.
12-1. The Mets, by the way, have the same 12-1 home record. So
they got some voodoo magic working right now. Everything's working for them.
They're going to get healthier, I believe. The catcher Alvarez is due back.
Yeah,
and if
you look at the names in their rotation, I have no idea how their team ERA is so low.
They're way lower than the Padres.
It almost like feels, and with David Stearns there, like kind of feels like the Brewers, where it's like, who are these guys?
And great job.
So we'll see. Again, it's April 24th.
Right.
So. All right, time to rein you in while Tony looks up the rotation and reminds you that you're listening and watching the Padre Roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. We are pizza royalty.
Joey Lucchese still on that team?
Did you want to?
No.
Kodai Senga hasn't given up a run like all month.
Clay Holmes,
right? But he's transitioning to a starter.
Tyler McGill.
Look how well that played for the Padres. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Canning, Tyler McGill.
You know, McGill. We saw him. I think
he's pretty good.
Twice last year, and he did. Pretty
maybe
good
I'm not giving him enough credit.
It's just they don't have, and kind of in a similar way to. Who we just finished playing? The Tigers, right? Tigers. You don't know very many of those names outside of Skubal.
Yeah.
But those dudes, when you watch the pitch, it's like, nasty. Okay, yeah, they're disgusting. Yeah.
And their bullpen, too.
I think the Mets kind of have a similar thing with their pitch, with their rotation.
Man, the Mets' ERA is a half run lower than the Padres, which is really saying something. All right, guys, we've loved the Padres' start. I think that's pretty clear. We're all pretty happy about it. And as Tony said, you have to really search to try to find something. And I dug pretty hard to find those numbers that brought up. Let's take a little break from Padre talk for today's roundtable draft. Now, this was invented by our usual host, Ben Higgins. I'll give you the subject. Everybody chooses one. You can't repeat somebody else's selection. But I don't think that's going to come into play today because there's such a large pool of possibilities. But here is today's question. Name a great Padres player or one of your personal favorites who is hardly ever mentioned anymore. Wow. Name a great Padre player, obviously from the past, or one of your favorites that is hardly ever mentioned or talked about anymore.
Is there a certain amount of time they've had to be a Padre? I don't think
there's any qualifications. Okay. That can be anybody you think was a great Padre or somebody that you just loved.
Talked about anymore by whom?
Just you don't hear the name mentioned.
All right, I need an example. You want to start with yourself?
Yeah, what's your example?
Chris? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll go first. My guy, I have a few choices, but I'm going to go with one of my own personal favorites who doesn't get mentioned ever anymore, Ed Whitson.
Eddie Whitson.
Yes. Ed Whitson is the fourth leading victory guy in Padre history with 77. In 1984, when they went to their first World Series, Whitson won 14 ball games and helped them get there. But Tony knows why I chose him. Scraby's heard this story as well. In 1984, I was a Cub journalist for the UT, and one of my jobs was to go down to the dugout each night in the fifth inning and pick up the film from the photographers and bring it back to the newspaper to be developed. I was wide-eyed. Man, I'm going down to the Padre dugout, Major League Baseball, incredible. My first time I did it, Ed Whitson was on the mound that night. As I walked down the tunnel in the bottom of the fifth inning while the Padres were batting, there sitting in a director's chair in the tunnel, smoking a cigarette, was Ed Whitson, who was actually pitching in the game that night.
Makes sense. Break.
Welcome to the 80s.
That was my welcome to the majors moment right there. I was like, oh, okay.
Mucho stress.
These are real people, you know? But anyway, Ed Whitson's my guy. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Nobody's even mentioned for a long, long time.
Chris, you were doing this in 1984?
Believe it or not, yeah. I was in grade school. I got a job at the UT as a kindergartner, so it was nice.
You were a 35-year-old kindergartner?
35-year-old,
sorry. Oh, man.
You know, I'm not going to you for a selection.
He just forfeited his draft pick.
He just forfeited your draft pick to the Tennessee Titans.
Pulled the Minnesota Vikings. Didn't get it in time.
All right, whoever wants to. I'll just start with you, Scrappy.
I'll go. Because I met this guy a couple weeks ago. He was very nice, and his name is Arky Cianfrocco.
Arky Cianfrocco,
good name.
I met him when I did the baseball, the Little League opener. He was there. Yeah. And we had a good, long conversation, and he was a good dude. He was really
a bit of a cult hero when he was a Padre
player. He was on the 98 team, right?
He used to play softball at the Poway Sportsplex. He lasted about three games, and he booted two balls, and he got ridiculed senseless.
It's a lose-lose for those guys.
The hell are you guys doing out of there? That's why Tony never plays.
He also hooped in a men's league for years.
Really?
Like every year.
Sports
he recently,
junkie.
I think he stopped, but I used to see him in those leagues all
one
the time.
One of my favorite fantasy camp instructors, the great Arky Cianfrocco. I'll go next and I'll give you another one.
Go ahead, Woodsy. It's your turn.
I've gotten a chance to play for him at fantasy camp twice, and I know he's made some Padre fans mad over the years, but I think he's back in the good graces. That's the great Tim Flannery. One of my favorite human beings of all time. And I got to coach his grandson, so he would come to my games, and I was texting with him actually this morning. I love him. He's just the greatest, and the way that he played, it sticks out, you know, because he didn't have all those natural all that ability. He's one of those, like, leave it out on the field every single night he played. So I've always admired that about him, and I love that.
He's
dude.
Your guy. Tim Flannery was at bat for one of the most famous plate appearances, I think, in Padre history, as he was the one who bounded the ball between the legs of Leon Durham that set up the big inning in Game 5 of the 84 playoffs. So, all right, Tim Flannery gets a mention. Arky Cianfrocco, Ed Whitson, Sam Levitt, your turn.
I really came of age as a baseball fan in the 2000s. So I look at those Padres teams in the mid to late 2000s, good teams that went to the postseason. And I feel like I hear a lot about 84. I hear a lot about 98, you know, the Jake Peavy era, Trevor, obviously, Tony Gwynn. One guy that I think about a lot that spent a lot of really good years with the Padres during the 2000s, Brian Giles.
I
think about Brian Giles. I think about like that crouch down stance from the left side, like hanging over the plate, could really, really hit. Was a Padre, a good Padre for a long time, part of really good teams from El Cajon. Like Brian Giles. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I feel like I don't hear a ton about Brian Giles considering how long he was a Padre and part of really, really good
teams. I think the thing
that
sticks out for me with Brian Giles, Tony will agree, is his fashion sense.
Lack of.
That's what I was referring to.
His pranks he would do down there.
He was a crazy prankster.
He was a wild
back
one.
In the day.
He was a wild one.
All right, Tony, who you have here for this subject?
This is a really tough one for me because I got a lot of history with these guys. I'm going to mention him because I saw him last homestand. Chris Gomez.
Gomez.
He is... He's now a high school baseball coach. His team was out here playing in the Lions tournament just last week, or last homestand. So I got a chance to see him a little bit. You got to remember, leading up to the 98, the Padres were supposed to be good for like a 3-4 year span. And I just remember when he came on to the team, when the Padres acquired him, he was like the first shortstop we had a long time that was like really good defensive. Like he didn't make any mistakes. And he always seemed to come up with a big knock in that 98 time frame, that 96 to 98 time frame. I think he fit the kind of the San Diegan way, you know, quiet, just went out and did his job, showed up every day. He was a good one. He was a good one. Chris Goldman.
I like that because I think when you think of Padre shortstops of days gone by, Smith, Gary Templeton, Khalil Green, there's a lot of come to mind before Chris Gomez, and maybe Chris Gomez should get more credit.
He was
on that World Series team. All right, Coach Suprenant, we've left it up to you. You can't choose any of the ones we took. I hope we didn't steal yours.
I was about to say Khalil Green, but you just ripped off like three. I mean, for me, I mean, like I, you know, playing middle infield as a kid, like Khalil Green was like everybody's fan favorite in town for a long time. I mean, during some you know, some interesting Padres years, to say the least. You know, so it was either going to be him or Mark Loretta, just because I played second base.
Oh, I love Mark Loretta.
So, you know, I do still think like Khalil gets some type of recognition, but I feel like it's been so long now since we've really talked about Khalil Greene. So I'm actually going to go with Mark Loretta. I changed my mind. I'm going to go with Mark Loretta just because of I remember them. His walk-up song would be Lowrider, and they'd play that in the ballpark all the time. He was had a really good Padres career. And was probably after Tony's dad stopped playing. And I've told the story growing up. I mean, you had like a bunch of you just like had a brand new roster like every year.
Yeah.
And so like for a long time, my favorite player was Mark Loretta. And then once he left, I would just went back to my all time favorite player is Tony Gwynn, because there was just a random player. There's just a new team every year. So until that point, it was Mark Loretta. So that's who I'm going to go with. Even though I know he works for the front office now.
Well, he's such a class guy.
Yeah,
great. Anybody who's spent time with him since his playing days. He's also behind your dad as the number two hitter in Padre history.
That's right.
The .314 career average. So good on you, Mark Loretta.
He sent his kids to Cathedral, too. So a little biased, maybe.
What's this?
He sent his kids to Cathedral, too. So maybe a little biased.
Oh, there it is.
Should have known that was going to sneak into the show somehow. This is the Padre Roundtable, brought to you by our friends at Roundtable Pizza, Pizza Royalty. All right, guys, with a good start for the Padres, don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I would think come trade deadline, I mean, it's already going through our minds a little, isn't it?
They already had a preview of it, like an early preview.
Right. I mean, I think the Padres are going to be buyers, it looks like, certainly. All right. You can only get one position covered. I mean, you're going to package the best package you can for one position based on what you've seen so far. Sammy Leavitt, start us off. What are you going for?
Is this a draft or just whatever?
No, this isn't. You can agree with no more draft.
Are we really thinking about this on April 24th?
I think we are. I am.
Baseball junkie, Sam. Come on, man.
One position.
It's a one-hour show, Sam. We got to
feel.
You want me to just pick or just start?
I wouldn't say bullpen.
Process elimination here for Sam.
I mean, left field, so like an outfielder. So I would say either left field. I got to pick one. I think like from a late season playoff standpoint, they should be okay with Yu Darvish healthy if everybody's healthy in the top four. So I'd say either an upgrade at catcher or left field. I'll go with left field.
Thank you, Sam.
An outfielder.
Thank you. Thanks for the thought process.
You, man. Let's go to.
That's what happens when you ask him on April 24th.
That's right. He hasn't even looked at
and
that.
And I'm going to ask you on April 24th also, Tony. So what are you doing?
I would say starting pitching. I would say that because I don't. And listen, I'm hopeful that you gets back and is right, but I think you got to have a contingency plan for that not happening. And so you're already down Joe. Likely for the year, I know he's trying like hell to get there before the end of the season happens. But I think you got to have a contingency for you. So I would say starter.
Brandon, what you going for?
I'm going to go with left field as well. Just the thing with the starter, you know. And again, they put that primer out there for, you know, this might be one of the sleepiest deadlines, just because you have so many teams that are competing in the American League that are all tight together. There's not a lot of rentals out there. Most of the rentals are on teams that are in the National League that are competing at a very high level. And there's not a lot of starting pitching out there except for really Sandy at this point, unless you know somebody else, somebody wants to pull a Detroit Tigers and get rid of Flaherty while they're competing for a playoff spot, which I highly doubt. So I just think you'd have to give up a lot more to try to get a starting pitcher. I don't know if the Padres are in the budget for that right now, but I think a thing that could really help this team in the postseason with the pitching that they already have is left field. I think they should really upgrade left field.
All right, I'll go with starting pitcher. You mentioned Sandy. Did you mean Sandy Alcantara?
Yes.
Okay. I think they need somebody like that as well. I agree with Tony. Vasquez is going to drive me absolutely crazy if he doesn't start throwing a few more strikes. I mean, 56% strike to ball ratio, and it just drives me nuts. I'd rather give up hits. And I think it may drive Mike Schilt crazy before too long. It didn't look like he could wait to get out there the other day to get him off the mound. But maybe hopefully that was a hiccup for him. But I still think they need one more starter. Scrabe.
the catcher position does worry me a little bit, but I don't know really what's out there in form of a deal. I mean, catcher, finding a catcher that can, a good catcher, defensive unicorns. Catcher that can hit is not easy to find. So
they're
I'm going to go with
greedy
left field.
They're unicorns.
Just greedy.
Yeah,
you have one. His name's Ethan Salas. You got to wait.
That's true. That's true.
Unicorns.
But I'm just going to go with the left field position.
All right, GM Woods.
I feel like, and we have AJ Preller on tomorrow at 8, so I'm sure he'll be
ask
happy.
The same question.
He'll probably already be looking
question.
Ahead. Yeah.
He'll be happy to divulge their plans yes. for a few months from now. That's one thing I do know about AJ Preller.
Very, you know he's got a list somewhere
out there. Well.
He's
you
very
know
transparent.
He's got a list.
Yeah, he'll probably give us his list of 10 to 12 targets.
Get his big board for his draft, too.
By position. Man, look, every year we say. Can't have too much starting pitching.
No.
You can't. And it's weird because we saw what Dave Roberts did last year with the Dodgers. They won the World Series with two starters and an elite bullpen. And I looked at that and I went, that is outside the norm. Now,
yes.
Three MVPs at the top of your order
yeah.
doesn't hurt. One of them didn't hit at all in the World Series. The other one had a broken ankle. They still managed to get it done with two starting pitchers and really, really the bullpen. And look at those guys now. All those guys are hurt. They shredded themselves to win that World Series. But
Typically how it goes.
And I look at the Padres right now. And yeah, man, like I don't think Oscar is it yet in left field. Tirso maybe, you know, given some more ABs, but. I think a starting pitcher, for me, always, it just makes me feel better. I sleep better at night knowing, we're loaded for bear in the postseason with starters. It's such an easy, low-hanging fruit answer that I'm like, starting pitching, man, you can't go wrong. AJ Preller will not get roasted by any media for going out and getting a better starting pitching option at the deadline.
Woodsy brings up such a good point about the Dodgers and how they did it and those guys being banged up. The same thing with Cleveland. Remember, they only had a couple starters. And they shredded those. Now, they ended up winning the World Series. They lost. Yeah. But a lot of those dudes for the next few years were either hurt.
Couldn't get right.
Or weren't pitching well.
Class A this year. Yeah. You know, they used him. He imploded in the playoffs. And look at him this year. I mean, it's just – there's one team I look at, though, that's the most interesting team in baseball as far as I'm concerned. It's the Baltimore Orioles.
Nobody
really knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's very tumultuous. So if I'm AJ Preller, I'm looking at their glut of outfielders. They have too many guys for the same positions, and they can't get them enough time. Is there a deal that could be made for somebody in the outfield there in Baltimore while times are kind of uncertain there? There's a couple of teams. You know, not a lot of teams are going to be sellers, and there's still plenty of time for the Orioles to turn it around.
I thought you were going to say Charlie Morton for the Orioles, who's a great veteran, playoff pitcher, but is 0-5 this year with an ERA of 10.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would take a shot at that.
Baltimore didn't want to get rid of any of those guys for starting pitching
correct.
That they needed. So what are they going to do? What are we going to give them to get them?
At this point, like, what is your direction?
What are they doing?
Their starters are banged. They're hurt.
Yeah.
Their best starters, I think, are hurt right now. And their offensive guys ain't hitting, and they're all young, and so I would love for somebody to be able to pluck one of them.
I just
don't know that the Orioles are going to they think they're in their window right now, so it'd be tough.
They need some arms, man.
I just the Padres system, just as we're talking about trades, is also
it's not where it was
this time last year, where there were just a bunch of clearly very tradable
good point
assets that teams were going to value, and you know DeVries isn't going anywhere. I would imagine Salas isn't going anywhere, and that's not to say over the course of this year that the reputation of the system can't start to rise again. AJ's track record, it probably will. It's just in a very different place than it was last year when they made the trade for Scott and Adam and Arraez within a span of a few months.
And I do think you have to be semi-careful when you add a position player as opposed to a starter, right?
Sure.
The guy throws every 5 days. Adding a position player is like, You're at the table, and we need to produce every day with Manny, Ander, and Toddy, and Crony, and Merrill, all these guys. Like, that's got to be you have to hit that. You have to thread that needle if you're AJ Preller.
That's such a great point, because I think that's the piece that we're not talking about is, as was different about starting pitch, as you said, they go right and rotate. It's their day. Nothing has to change. You get a position player, there's no guarantee that he's now filling the same role that he was playing with it. whatever team he's coming. Is he going to be accepting of that? I think the one thing that AJ Preller has done a magnificent job of is signing guys or bringing in guys that fit what this personality and how these guys operate.
Well, he finally has the magic recipe.
He
finally
does.
And it took a lot of trial and error. And we, you know, we always remember, like, you go back, you interview Crony or even Manny, and they're like, a lot of new faces, a lot of new personalities, and you're like, oh, okay, so there's, am I sensing something? And you saw it. Now, bro, everyone,
you don't even talk about it.
Everyone's bought in. You have to, the threading of that needle for AJ Preller to bring in a position player. Yeah, I'm like, who's the best left fielder in baseball? If you plucked him, plopped him in left field for the San Diego Padres, it's weird. Like, would they fit in?
Yeah.
And where would they hit?
Yeah, like the
would they be okay with that?
Right.
And all of that.
Yeah, I remember Adam Frazier being brought in. Oh. He had the batting title
like,
and then he got traded to the Padres, and he just couldn't hit.
He had no position.
They stuck him in left that first day, and it didn't go well. And he never went back out again. And that was clogging up the infield because they didn't want to put him out there. You know, I don't know if it was him or the team or what it was, but then it created a logjam in the infield, and that just complicated everything amongst the other things that were going on.
Is there more pressure for position players? Do they put more pressure on themselves after the trade deadline than a starter?
Got to, right?
I would think so, because if you're an everyday guy and you get traded, and you're now an everyday guy on a team that is expected to win, you naturally want to go out and prove I'm here.
Right.
I think it's just a different deal.
It's different.
Starters, you get some days off as a starter. Like, all right, I got my 3 days off in between. I got my bullpen. Then it's my turn. Position player, if you're a dude, you're in there. Like, you expect
and
it.
And nothing really changes for a starting
pitcher in terms of,
like, their environment.
Get out there and
it's
you
just
pitch.
You. It's just you versus the other team.
And you might even
have, it changes your jersey. That's the way it changes.
You have a better defense behind you.
You know what I mean?
Right, like, things are looking up in a lot
Pavetta.
Of those.
He's enjoyed that.
In a lot of those instances, you know, and again, look, man, AJ, it took him a lot of trial and error and a lot of bodies. Well, go watch any random Major League Baseball game today. You go, Padre. They were all here
for one point.
And so that's the tough part, too, when it comes to going for a position player.
We're wrapping up the Padres Roundtable, commercial-free hour of Padres talk here on 97.3 The Fan. Roundtable brought to you by our friends at Roundtable Pizza. They are pizza royalty. I think we have a minute left, maybe two. I had a seventh-inning stretch question, but now we're in the bottom of the ninth, so we're not going to take our stretch. I'm going to throw this out for a minute and a half. Should Mike Shildt have given Fernando the opportunity to extend his on-base streak yesterday in the ninth inning, or was pinch hitting no big deal? I understand there's no I in team, but he did have a nice streak going. Anybody have a thought in the final minute on that? You kind of touched on it earlier and said, you know, you understood why they pinch hit down 6-0.
Yeah, as long as Fernando is not super upset about it, I think we're okay. I mean, I'm sure. I don't even know if they had that conversation. I don't think Fernando really is that into that.
No.
I think they're more focused on winning. And at that point in time, it's like, hey, we just got our asses handed to us. Let's get back to San Diego.
Prudent decision.
Prudent decision.
Long game, baby. Long game.
Let's get ready for the flight home.
I mean, really getting him off his feet for one at bat?
Yeah, if it's DiMaggio's record, it's a different story, but it's not. We're talking about a 12-game hit streak. So.
Yeah, all right, what if he gets on base the next 100 games?
What if he rips his hamstring in half, leg it out of ground ball, down 6-0?
A lot of
what ifs.
I think he had three opportunities to get it done early in the game.
Yep.
Game's kind of out of hand. Get him off his feet.
Scraby, you're just smiling.
Well, because I know that you hated this decision.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was
You said you wanted Mike Shildt to give him a chance.
But I didn't hate it. It wasn't like the end of the world for me. I just brought it up. It was something I thought about.
Okay.
I'm into those kinds of records and stuff.
I cannot wait, Woods, for the draft show. Me and these two.
Oh, God. Like married couple. I love it.
I know you guys are all jealous about...
I've been trying to be nicer to Chris. So.
All right. The Tennessee Titans are indeed on the clock.
Cam Ward.
They're going to take the full 10 minutes to select.
They always do.
Braden will have his show coming up if you're listening live. If you're listening to our afternoon tape, then it's Braden as well, but along with myself and Scraby for the NFL draft. Thank you guys for allowing me to fill in. Good job, Chris. Round table, Padres round table. Back next week. Enjoy your week, everybody.